Good evening. Thank you for coming out this evening. As a follow-up to Brother Bruce's prayer for those aid workers in Afghanistan, I saw in the evening news today that they had been released. The opposing forces had gotten them out of the hands of their captors, and they are now in safe hands. So we thank God for bringing them out safely, for preserving them during the past month that they've been held captive by these people. But there are many others in similar circumstances tonight that perhaps we know nothing about, even in our Western Hemisphere, here in South America, down in countries like Colombia, who many have been killed, many are being held captive, and perhaps mistreated by those men that the scripture calls, they do not have faith, and we need to pray for the household of faith. I want to read a few verses, first of all, tonight from the prophecy of Daniel, chapter 10. I'm going to take time to read the first 19 verses. I think it's important that we have a knowledge of the Word of God, which will help us in our talk tonight. I don't want to preach. I want to chat with you. Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. That's the name given to him. Was the name, I understand, of one of the gods of Persia. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. May the Lord bless to us the reading and our meditation on his word. Perhaps some of you have seen the television program Touched by an Angel. Tonight, it's Touched by a Hand. Touched by a Hand. It says here that Daniel became sick because of the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. He mourned. He says so. More than once. He mourned over the condition, the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. No nation had been ever so blessed by God as to have been called and given the Word of God. Commandments, yes, but instructions how to live and to serve God. And yet, they went astray. I fear that the same is true of us. We have been blessed. God has been merciful to these islands, to this country, sent the gospel to these islands. People have been saved, and many people have been saved in the last 100 years. There have been times of great enthusiasm, spiritual enthusiasm. We have had times of revival, spiritual revival, when God by His Spirit has poured out upon us a spirit of conviction, conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Men and women and young people falling before God, confessing their sins and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, have been saved, been brought into the church, and have served God. Today we seem to be in a drought. I speak to myself. We seem to be in a drought. We come and go from the place of the holy. It doesn't seem to have the deep attraction that it should have, that the work of God, the assembly of God, the ministry to which He has called us, doesn't seem to grip our souls as it should. I look back on yesterday's years, when I was saved, and I remember the great enthusiasm, and I've gone through other spiritual revivals, crusades, where the blessing of God has fallen. And I, like Daniel, in a very small way, I have to confess that my heart has grown cold. It's not what it ought to be. The work of God, the service of God, the assembly of God doesn't have its attraction and appeal that it once had. Daniel mourned, and he says, "My comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." I get a feeling that he smelt and tasted the corruption of his own body. That's how concerned Daniel was about the people of God and their departure from God. He says, "My comeliness was turned into me into corruption." How great is our concern for the people of God? For those who form this nucleus here in this building. That's my burden. But my burden goes beyond that tonight. I cannot stand here before you and try to exhort you and to challenge you about our spiritual condition so much. My concern tonight is focused more on our practical lives. How much interest do we have in one another? Daniel prayed and he said, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do." We must be sincere in what we are doing as Christians, as an assembly, as a group of God's people, in what we are about. And I speak to my own heart as I pray, "O Lord, hear." I have to pray, "O Lord, forgive." Timothy exhorts us, 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, prayers, supplications, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men." We have to acknowledge our departure from the fervency that we once had. And when we acknowledge that before God, as we pray, we make our prayer to Him and ask for His forgiveness. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The way to renewal in our own lives has to be an acknowledging of our departure, an acknowledging of that before God, and pray with David of old as he prayed for cleansing from immorality. We need to pray for cleansing from lethargy and indifference. We need to pray with David, "Create in me a clean part, a pure part, O God. That the things that we handle are real, and they will stand forever. And God is going to hold us accountable for the life that we have. And if we fail to live and practice according to that light. Daniel was touched by a hand. Behold, a hand touched me. Again he says, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. Then the Lord Jesus was here. He touched people physically. He touched the deaf and made them hear. He touched the blind and made them see. He touched the dumb and made them speak. He touched the lame and made them walk. He touched the leper and made him whole. He touched the dead. And they came to life. He touched the hand of Jairus' daughter. He touched the bier that held the lifeless body of the son of the widow of Nain. He touched people. People touched him. John the Beloved leaned upon his bosom. We cannot touch him physically now. We can touch him, though, by our prayers. The writer to the Hebrews says, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched. That's a double negative, and they tell me that a double negative is a positive. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched. What he's saying is, we do have a high priest who can be touched. And I don't understand that he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. But as he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, he, in like manner, is able to touch us. He wants to touch me. He wants to touch you. He wants that renewal, that spiritual revival, that enthusiasm, that excitement that we once knew about our Father, about our Lord Jesus Christ, about the Word of God, about the people of God, about those who are unsaved. So, as that hand touched Daniel, it may have been one of those theophanies, the Lord Jesus in the form of a man who touched him. But he, in like manner, will touch us today. But the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If there is sin of any type, it doesn't have to be immorality. It can be a sin of negligence, a sin of matter of routine. We go through the motions. As the wise man said, we come and go from the place of the holy. But is our heart in it? Is there reality in my heart? Am I convinced that this is of God? And that God is pleased with us
as we
fellowship together, as we have a care one for another, as we exhort one another, as we preach the gospel, we have to believe that God is interested in these spiritual things. We cannot be mamby-pamby, matter of fact. We have to be vibrant and positive in all of our thinking, in all of our ways. More to the practical side. Our brother Dennis McKinnon spent a month exhorting us on the love of God from John's Gospel and also John's first epistle. I think for most of us, it went over our head. I don't think we heard it. If we heard it, it didn't affect us. We hear the Word of God, but it doesn't seem to move us. It doesn't seem to stir us, to motivate us, to change us. I'm going to be a little more practical. We have brothers and sisters in our fellowship who need to feel the touch of our hand. You don't know what it means to a person who's isolated at home, with disabilities and in pain, to have another brother or sister come and grip that hand and ask about their welfare. We need to touch their hand. God will touch them through us if we become that channel. There are some of our brothers and sisters who have very serious physical disabilities. A couple of them that we know about, Brother Donald Russell, Sister Annie Wade, facing more surgery to repair broken bones. How much is our concern about them? How deep is it? Do we visit them? Do we try to comfort them? Do we listen? Daniel says he mourned. I'm going to use another word. They groan. I'll tell you about a sister who is down here from the assembly in Murphytown, Abaco. She had cancer up in the head, around the ear. I used to visit her in the hospital. When I first went there to see her, found out about her, we were able to talk, read the scriptures, converse. She kept getting worse. And the last time, well, the time before the last, that I went to see her, she couldn't talk. I talked, read the scriptures, quoted some scriptures, and all she could say, she couldn't utter a word. The cancer had come down into the throat. She couldn't say a word. As I would repeat some scriptures or say something about our heritage, our Christian heritage, all she could do was, They mourn. They groan. They're in pain. They need somebody to sympathize, empathize with them, and to comfort them. We need to reach out and touch them. Not only so, they have financial needs. Some of us have more than heart could wish. They stand in need. Some more, some less. How great is our concern? We are members one of another, the apostle says. Members of the body of Christ, that's the whole group, okay? You can't see the forest for the trees. Or you can't see the trees for the forest, whichever it is. But then he says, we are members one of another. We should have the same care one for another. So I'm being very practical tonight. I'm bringing before you some of the things which I see. If I'm able to go around a little. This morning's choice gleaning calendar, I thought was right on. Quoting a verse from Psalm 39 and 7, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." There are times in life when we feel there is something God would have us do. Yet we hesitate or prevaricate due to uncertainty. The psalmist questions himself and asks why he has not yet done what was on his heart. "What wait I for?" he asks. The question is valid, especially for him, as he professed hope in God. So what are you waiting for? Write that letter. Make that call. Pay that visit. Send those flowers. And do it today. Tomorrow may be too late. Emulate the perfect servant who responded immediately to the things God laid on his heart. Roy Hill. Some of us will know Brother Roy. James says, if a brother or sister is in need, and we say to them, "Be ye warmed and clothed. God bless you. We'll pray for you. Your name is in the bulletin. Have a nice day." He says, they say they have faith. That faith cannot save it. We have to be practical. If we know that a brother or sister has need, we need to be practical. We need to try to meet that need as we are able, be it little or much. We need to see them, our brothers and sisters. We need to touch them. I say it again. I think God will touch them through us, if we are willing. We can be the channel through which, through whom God can touch His people. We pray, We supplicate. We plead. We intercede. We ask. We seek. We knock. The people whom we know who are ill, the people who are listed in our bulletin and others, how fervent are we in praying for their healing? Hezekiah, when he was told that he was going to die, he was distressed and he bowed before God, and God granted him 15 years. Perhaps we may not have that faith to ask for 15 years for the people who are ill. But we can ask. And if we ask, and if we seek, and if we knock, the passage I read this morning by William MacDonald, along the same line. William MacDonald, a man of God, is convinced. Somebody says, well, you pray and God answers. Wouldn't God have answered anyway if you didn't pray? Brother MacDonald says, he doesn't think so. He thinks God is moved by the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous and works. Lots of times, because they pray. God can do it otherwise. I tend to agree with him. That if we are fervent in our prayer, that God will answer. Touched by a hand. We have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, for he was tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The hymn writer says, he knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. And can God use me? Can God use you to touch a brother or a sister? And bring comfort and some kind of peace to their souls in the midst of suffering and anxiety. And also use us to help with finances where it is necessary. Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And you've heard it said so many times. The latter part of that verse, another translation says, casting all your care upon him, for it matters to him about you. But is God waiting to hear the fervent cry of his people on behalf of those who need healing? Those who are sick, those who are suffering, feel the nights are too long. They wish for the day. You and I, most generally, we think the nights are too short. We don't get enough sleep. We need to be there with them sometimes to hear their groanings, their mourning. We need to listen to their complaints. We cannot take the burdens of the world, but we can have an open ear. We can listen and we can pray and we can help. I trust that we will ask the Lord to show us where we can help. That we will think about some area, some person, something that we can do to bring a little comfort and easement to the hearts and the minds of the people of God. We are so blessed. Most of us here tonight have a good measure of health and strength. Not all, but most of us. We need to care about the others who don't have that. It's missing. May God help us to have a heart of concern and be that hand to touch somebody in compassion and in practical ministry to bring comfort and relief and peace to those persons. We are members one of another. May God give us that care and concern one for another. Our Father, as we wait before Thee, we have to confess, as did the brothers of Joseph that day, when they realized their wrong, that we have neglected the things that we should have done. We have left them undone. And we have to confess that we too are verily guilty. We pray, O God, that in sincerity of heart, we may ask forgiveness and determine, by the help of the Spirit of God, to do what we can while we can, while it is called today, to help our brothers and sisters. And so we believe we'll be laying up treasures in heaven. We thank Thee for the people of God here at this assembly. We thank Thee for the heritage that we have. We thank Thee for the good fellowship, the good ministry. We pray, O God, that it may relate in a practical way to one another, and especially those who are in desperate need. Forgive us, Lord, if we have sounded harsh. We have not sought to slay the people of God, but just to bring to our attention the practical needs that we need to see and do something about. We thank Thee, Lord, for this assembly, and we pray that in our hearts and in our service, there may indeed be a spiritual revival. We say so often, we believe the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. What will it be like for us to stand at the judgment seat of Christ before that bar and have our lives reviewed? The things we have done that have been contrary to Thy mind and will, and the things that we have left undone that we should have done. may we determine that for the rest of our lives, we shall surrender fully to thyself. May we be able to say, with one who wrote such words, O Jesus, Lord and Master, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live for thee, O Christ, alone. We give thee our thanks for this day, for all thy mercies. Part us now for thy blessing. In the Savior's precious name.